going to be faced with. But Jesus was trying to tell them of many truths that they would witness, one being the fact that he would conquer death and conquer the tomb and dying for our sins. But still, they could not understand exactly what he was saying to them, as he was telling them that they will suffer and they will be very sad when he passed on, but their sadness would turn to joy. They couldn't understand why it would be such a way, as how could they get joy out of his death. And he tried to use an example of a woman giving birth, that at the time that she gives birth, she'd be going through much pain and sadness, but as soon as she gives birth, she would experience great joy for the fact of knowing that she brought a child into the world. And he tried to use that to get them to understand what he was telling them, but still, they could not understand what was going to happen. And he also told them that after he left, that they would be able to ask the Father anything, and he would grant it to them when they pray. They pray to the Father, he would grant their wishes and grant them what they need. One of the most key things about that is the fact that with us today, the same truth holds, that we can ask the Father for anything and go to the Father and ask in Jesus' name. But he's only going to grant us what we want or what we request that is in accordance with his will. And a lot of times people don't realize and don't think about that. Good morning. They don't think about the fact that they know that, because if they pray to God and ask for him to give them something, that he's going to answer their prayer. But they fail to realize that only if it's in accordance with what his will is. And I was having a discussion just yesterday with my son about he was been looking for a job, and he's got a good potential of getting one, but it may not be the type of job or the situation in which he wants. And I used an example of us, of people praying for a car. Sometimes when we want a car, we need a car. We see a car that we want, and we pray to God to give us that particular car because that's what we want. And the Lord blesses us with a car, but it's not the one that we had our eye on. And we feel like he didn't answer our prayer, or this because it's not exactly what we want. But we have to realize that God gives us what we need. He gives us a lot of things that we do want, but he's going to grant our wishes only for things that we request that is in accordance with his will. We also need to keep in mind that God has our best interest at heart at all times. So 10 times out of 10, whenever the Lord blesses us with something, it's going to be for our good. We may not see it for a good while, but we will realize that it was for the best, the way that he did it, instead of the way that we wanted it to be. Now, our scriptures that we took from that portion of the lesson came from John chapter 16, verses 16 through 24. But I'm not going to read that this morning, because we're going to be concentrating on looking at John chapter 20, verses 11 through 16. Now, the first scriptures that I gave you in John 16, verses 16 to 24, is what we just went over, or what I just went over to recap what we talked about last week. The fact of what Jesus was telling them, his disciples, that he was getting ready to leave, and trying to explain to them what was going to happen and what was about to take place. Well, what we're going to look at today is going to be after he had risen from the grave, and what proof that was shown to know that he had risen from the grave. Now, in John chapter 20, verses 11 through 16, it reads, "But Mary stood outside by the tomb, weeping. And as she wept, she scooped down and looked inside the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was him, that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing Jesus to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni." I think that's the way you pronounce that, Rabboni, which is to say teacher. Okay, now in these scriptures, we're trying to look at and see what is the truth, I mean, what is the proof, the undeniable truth that Jesus had risen from the grave. And the first sign here is the fact that Mary was at this tomb. And in other scriptures, it calls her Mary Magdalene. She had a great interest. She had a great interest in knowing that this was in Jesus, where he lay, because she had followed him the whole time while he was preaching, not only her, but other women and other people, like many followers were following Jesus along with the disciples, and believing in what he was teaching and understanding what he was teaching. So she was very concerned, and she missed him very much, but knowing that he was dead and buried, she went there to the tomb in hopes of being able to anoint his body with some type of oil. And some other scriptures tell that they did not, the other women that were with her that went there, did not know how they were going to roll away the stone. But as it happened, the Lord always makes a way. The stone was rolled away when they got there. And upon seeing that his body wasn't there, they too were confused. And they went and told the other disciples that Jesus was gone. His body wasn't there. And Peter and John came to look, and they saw that he was gone, and they went back to tell the others too. But Mary stayed. And why she stayed is kind of puzzling in a sense, because if you already realized that Jesus wasn't there, why would you still stick around? Now, when we experience grief, we're in a, I don't even know what kind of state you can describe it, but we're in a state where we don't really think clearly. We're really not concerned with a whole lot of things that are going on because of the fact that we just lost a loved one. So we don't think too clearly, and we more or less, like in Mary's case, we're focusing on the loss of the loved one that is going on. I don't know what she thought, that she would find out something that would help her realize where he was at, what happened to him. But because of the fact that she was grieving, as the scripture says, she was weeping, she was grieving so hard that she wasn't ready to just leave. This was the last place that she knew of where he was laid at, so she didn't want to leave that place that quick. And in so doing, she looked again, scooped down and looked in again to see, to make sure that she was seeing what she was seeing. And then looking in again, she saw that the angels were in there. And like I said, because she was grieving, she didn't even think about the fact that, well, who are these guys? Where did it come from? We didn't see them the first time we looked in. Why are they here? All she was concerned about was, where was Jesus? And she asked, when they asked her, why are you weeping? She told them, because I don't know where my Lord is. And she was very concerned. Now, the fact that she knew that he wasn't there was proof enough to know that Jesus was resurrected. But to Mary, she was thinking that somebody else had took him. Not so much that he was resurrected, but the fact that somebody had came and took Jesus from the tomb. That she, as we go down into the verses and look, and about verse number 14 and 15, we see that she turned away because the angels told her that he was not there. She turned away and then she saw somebody else, but she didn't quite make out who he was. And she mistook him for being the gardener or the caretaker. And she asked him, where is my Lord? Do you know where they laid Jesus? Tell me and I will take him, because she wanted to more or less give him a proper burial or administer oil to him to anoint his body to make sure that she could do all that she could do to make sure he was cared for properly. Now, in that time too, also, it was a very harsh, you were thought of very harshly if you did anything to contaminate or anything to bother with a body that was dead. At that time, they also did have grave robbers, which I guess we still have them today. I don't know of any, but, you know, I don't hear about people that rob graves as much today. We may hear about people that do things to graves, like knock over headstones, spray paint headstones. They do what we consider really devilish stuff. But at that time, I guess they considered it very devilish to even do anything or move a body or even touch a dead body, because you was unclean if you did that. But Mary wanted to make sure that Jesus' body was taken care of properly. And so she asked the gardener this, and she mistook Jesus for the gardener. And it wasn't until he spoke to her, and the way in which he spoke to her, by calling her by name, she recognized his voice, and she recognized the way in which he said it. After being around him and following him for so long a period of time, she had to know that was Jesus. And upon her hearing him say that, she realized it was him, and she, in reply, gave him what they would call a suitable answer by calling him Rabboni, which is translated as master, but not meaning like a slave master, but it was meaning more like a schoolmaster or a teacher. So she was giving him his, as we would call it, his props, so to speak. But she was giving him respect by calling him by that name. And the scripture tells us further on also that he told her then to go and tell the disciples that she had saw him and that he will appear to them later. That's further on in the scriptures, past verse 16. But the proof that we're looking at most particularly is the fact that Jesus appeared to her and she saw him. First, she knew that he wasn't there, so she knew he was taken away, as she thought. But after seeing him, she knew that he had to have been resurrected. He was not dead, he was alive, and this was the news that she went to tell the other disciples. Now, we, in comparison to Mary today, when we accept Christ, we know that he is risen and he is alive because of what we read in the scriptures. And when we accept him in our lives, we know what he does for us. And we look forward to seeing him when we are resurrected in glory. And this is what we have to look forward to. And this is what we live by. And that's what our faith is based on. The fact that we will be have an opportunity to live with Jesus in eternity forever. This is the good news. And this is what makes us happy, what we have to rely on, is what our faith is based on. Now, also in comparison with Mary, as I said before, we are on this side of the cross. We like to get to see the whole story after the fact. So it's a blessing to us. It helps fuel our faith. At that particular time and in that era, they didn't have anything to go on other than what Jesus told them or what someone else told them. So we are exceptionally blessed to be able to read the word, to understand the word, and to base our faith on that, and to know that God is alive and is interceding for us in future times to come. Not only in future times to come, but also as we live our lives today. Now we can experience this. If you haven't experienced it yet, if you keep living and trusting in the Lord, you will experience it. When we may face obstacles that we can't seem to solve, or we can't get over, we don't see no way out of the situation. And we pray to God, we pray to Christ, we ask for his deliverance. And we have to be patient to wait for his deliverance to come when his time is right. When it happens, how can you explain what happened? You knew from the beginning you was in a situation that you didn't see no way out of. You prayed, and you prayed to God in the name of Christ for to be delivered. So when it happens and you are delivered, and you know that you are delivered because the situation will change for your favor, in your favor, that it would be better. Now, when that happens, how can you explain it? How can it be nothing else but proof to you that Christ is alive and that your prayers were answered? Because if it was any way that you could have solved the problem beforehand, you would have did it. The reason why you pray, which a lot of times we don't pray until we get to the point where there's nothing else that we can do. We're supposed to pray all the time, pray without ceasing, and pray before we get to the point where we feel like our back is against the wall and we don't know what to do. We're supposed to pray during the storm, during the trial, and we're supposed to pray for Thanksgiving afterward, that we've been blessed and made it through. But sometimes we fail to do because we're so happy that we've come through it. And then, oh yes, Lord, thank you for blessing me in the way in which you did. But, like I said, how can you explain what happened if it wasn't for the power of God? So this is more proof that we have today that Christ is alive. He's already died for our sins. He's conquered death. And this should also give us confidence in knowing the fact that the hard trials that we face and the things that we go through, we know that the devil is always putting stumbling blocks in our way. And he's always making things happen not for our good. But it should be comforting to know the fact that whatever he throws at us and whatever he puts before us, whatever kind of trap he tries to get us in, it won't hold us because Christ is there to intercede for us and God's going to bring us through. We know this by the proof that Jesus already went to the tomb, already died, faced death, and was raised again by God on the third day. So we too can live in eternity with him. So this is what we look forward to. this is the proof that we have to go on. This is what our faith is based on, the fact that because of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, we too will be able to go through the same process. When we die, we will be resurrected to face judgment and to live eternity in heaven. Are there any comments? I didn't confuse you too much, did I? Okay, go ahead, Chuck.
Sometimes we feel apart. Sometimes I feel closer than others. Other times with Jesus, but whenever we seek him, he's right there. He's just like Mary. He was right there with Mary. Mary went to seek his body, seek him, and he was there.
Yes.
He's always here with us.
Because of our human makeup, and that covers our area for making mistakes. You know, we're not perfect. We always feel like we can handle things. You know, it's just human nature. If I can't handle it, then I can go to somebody that can help me. That can solve the problem. You know, if I'm working on something and it won't work, I can go to a friend of mine and get them to help me work it out. If the friend can't help me work it out, then maybe I go to a family member, and they can't help me work it out, then worst come to worst, I might have to come out of my pocket and pay for some professional help to get the problem solved. It's always, we feel like we can solve the problem, we can work it out, when in reality, God has already got the situation in hand. But because we are impatient people, and we think we can do it, that's why we feel like, I guess as you say, sometimes you feel like you're closer to them than other times, especially when things are not working out the way you want. When you are praying for a particular thing to happen, one of the, I guess, main prayers that people pray is when a loved one is ailing, and we are praying to God to save this person. You know, we see their suffering. We want God to bring them back to what we consider the normal portion of health, and so they can stay here with us for a long, long time, because we're not ready to see them go. And we praying and praying. The person don't seem to be getting any better. And then they pass, and then we feel like God didn't answer my prayer. How do you know he didn't answer your prayer? How do you know that God answered it when he called that person home? They were here suffering. You were praying that they didn't suffer anymore. You wanted them to have a better life. If he brought them home, they spent eternity with him. What could be better than that? We're not happy because they're not here with us. We want God to answer our prayer the way we want him to answer it. That's not the case. And a lot of times, that's what causes us a lot of grief, because we don't understand, or we don't know how God works. His ways is not our ways. But we have ways, we have desires, and we feel like our desires are good, you know. But God's is better. And as the song we sing, we'll understand it better by and by. We won't know until by and by. But at that particular time, just like with the disciples, when Jesus told them that he was leaving, and they would suffer, or they would go through sorrow, but they would have joy, they couldn't understand, how are we going to have joy? You leaving us. You know, that's the most heartbreaking thing you could have said to us. How are we going to have joy? But joy came when they did see him again. Each one of them saw him. Only for a little while at that particular time, but each one of them saw him. And then when you think about it, seriously, would you deny your loved one eternal rest to stay with you because you want them to be here and you know they're suffering and they're hurting? Would you really deny them to leave for God to give them eternal rest and their life would be so much, much better in eternity? The thing is, we'll get to see them again. And then we'll have joy, just like the disciples. But if you look at it as what the devil wants you to see, you don't have them with you no more. God didn't answer your prayer. Everything you're doing is in vain. That's not true. You can't think that way. Because none of us came here to stay. Some of us be here for a long time and enjoy life. But none of us was meant to stay here for all eternity. We're going to spend all eternity in heaven. So if you want to stay here, then you're thinking wrong. If you want your loved one to stay here, that's wrong thinking too. But it hurts. Jesus did not say that it's not going to hurt. He didn't say that you wouldn't suffer. He didn't say that you wouldn't go through pain. But he did say that joy will come after that. So that's what we have to bear in mind. The fact, what's important is afterward. Any other comments? I hope this has enlightened you a little bit. I hope you got something out of this lesson today. And that's my lesson for this morning. Thank you for your comments and your participation.